健康、时尚、美食、出行，尽在衣食住行。
每周五晚9:30，请锁定 AM1150西雅图中文电台。
Hey guys, this is Friday again. Welcome to our show, Another You. I'm Orlani.
I'm Michael Paris.
This is my guest today. So Michael, who is a computer engineer and also a mathematician?
We can go through them. So I'm a computer scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I study mathematics. I'm a mathematician, and I'm a full-time traveler.
Full-time traveler?
Yes.
Okay.
Full-time traveler. And I'm a contributor, so I write for a news company, and yeah.
So do you also run two companies?
Yes. Founder, I guess that would be the term.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you please introduce the companies you run for us a little bit?
So I operate two companies, Hexatiger, web design, and Hectofox cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I run Israel Now News, which is a Middle Eastern news agency, and America Now News, which is still in development, but we're pushing out content.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm currently authoring Breaking 9-to-5, my 10-step guide to becoming a travelpreneur, working full-time while you explore our amazing world. And yeah.
So here comes the question. You run two companies, and also you're a computer scientist, and also you're a full-time traveler. So how do you manage work and travel?
Well, the thing about it is that any specific, let's just say the web design, doesn't inhibit me from moving around.
Mm-hmm.
So any sort of trade that I kind of adapt, I make sure that it doesn't inhibit all the other stuff I do. So ultimately, all these things come and work together.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily operate my company. It's all virtual while I'm free to move around. I'm not tied to any specific location.
How about meeting up with clients?
You know, in this day and age, you see, that's a stigma right there. A lot of people sometimes think that, you know, if you have a client, you need to meet up with them physically, have meetings in an office. Although that was true for some time, that mentality is changing. Yeah.
In real estate company.
So, yeah. I mean, it depends on the trade, too. Some trades are, you know, that does apply more. But when you're in the digital realm, establishing trust is the most important thing. And
right.
Meeting in person helps establish trust. But there are other methods in which you can do that. A lot of my clients, 97-98% of them, I would say I've never met. And some of them, even when I was in Los Angeles, I would get Facebook notifications when, you know, someone's nearby you. I would get Facebook notifications all the time that I have clients nearby me, and I've worked with them for 4 or 5 years. I've never met them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example that how did you build up the trust with a client that you never know before?
So the trick here is to come off initially as authentic and sincere as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to show that you're really willing to compromise when there's conflict. So, you know, I give them confidence that no matter what barriers we have, I will work with them and make sure there's a resolution. At first, a lot of the clients that I've collected came from doing free work at first. That's a tactic that I have that can be kind of controversial, but it's more than just consulting. I'll give you an example. You know, I would come across someone's website that just looks horrible. And it's a big brand. They're making good money. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, you know, I can do better than that. And I would do nothing over a weekend. I would drill out an entire site. And I wouldn't even reach out to him until I'm done the site.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, hey, listen, you know, I saw your website. You know, you could be doing better for someone who's as reputable as you, and your company's just doing really good. There's no reason why your website shouldn't be top-notch. You know, I built you something. You can have it. It's just that had nothing to do over the weekend. Although I did have stuff to do over the weekend, I just didn't want to come off as too aggressive. And that would establish trust because he knows that I care more about giving him quality than I do about taking his money.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, you know, I've given up a few dollars to have a solid relationship with a company that I'm, you know, still doing really well with today. And I think that mentality should apply to all aspects of business where sometimes we're too short-sighted. We think in terms of dollars. We graduate college. What's my best paying job I can get right now? Sorry. The mask is killing me.
Okay, so we're wearing face masks only because of the coronavirus out there, and we don't want to give a wrong signal to everyone.
Yeah.
This is still going on.
I don't even know if I'm wearing it properly.
It's very comfy.
It's supposed
and
to go over the nose.
Hear us perfectly fine.
Yeah, if people in the future are kind of wondering what's going on here, we're currently dealing with an epidemic here, a pandemic now. And we got to wear these to stay safe.
Yeah,
so.
This is a part of his history, as you may know later.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Did he eventually become one of your clients?
Yeah. It's a big beverage company in Los Angeles.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's a good philosophy, I believe. I also heard that you created the break 9 to 5.
Yes.
Theory.
Yes.
And a total of 10 steps?
10 steps. Summarize it into 10 steps. So I never intended to do this. It was an inevitable byproduct of my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how I've come to, you know, being in the basement coding all night to starting up a web development company, then to branching out to hosting, the whole entire process, you know, wasn't given to me. It was kind of muscled its way through as I, you know, felt it kind of approached my challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back in hindsight, in retrospect, I've kind of molded an entire business model from the ground up. And people seem to find that really interesting. So I've decided to consolidate it into 10 steps and ultimately consolidate it into a book. I'm not sure why you're laughing.
just a face mask.
What should I?
No, I think we're fine. I mean, if you want to prefer, as long as you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I'll take it off.
Yeah, you can take it off. Show your face.
Cool, sweet.
Show your cute face. Whew. Fresh air.
Oh.
We're still safe.
And I can drink my Red Bull now, so that's great.
That's good. We're still safe because we're in close contact distance, social distance. But,
social.
Yeah, but I'm wearing face mask, so it's good. Do you think that your 9 to 5?
Some people work 9 to 10, so yeah.
90, I hope they're not. So do you think that your 9 to 5 theory will apply most of people?
No, definitely not. I'm not advocating that my model is better than the current 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying that my specific model appeals to many people. You know, for some people, landing an awesome job, well, planning your future at the onset of college,
mm-hmm.
choosing the right degree that pays you the most, applying for the best job at Google, getting an awesome job, you wake up 9, you go home 5, you can't reply to emails because your work email is in the office. You know, the people who live that sort of lifestyle and who are happy doing it, I recommend that for them. Because for those kinds of people, looking at what I do, it's a transaction. Every single thing I do is not worth it for the most part. Like, you know, you to start this company, you have to work 10 times harder than your college colleagues. You get paid half the amount, right? And you got to do this for a while. It takes grit. It takes stubbornness. And
without a foreseen return.
Without anything in return, at least for some time, until you see that inflection point, which we can talk about. But the point I'm making here is that I simply wouldn't be happy with the 9 to 5. I didn't choose that way. It's not a choice. It's not something I deserve credit or discredit for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how my brain is wired. I wake up in the morning. I am 100% okay with working my brains out the entire day and perhaps not getting paid anything. Because I really see a vision and I want to build my own dreams. And I just can't wrap my head around the fact that I'm okay with being paid to forget about my dreams. I.e. working for another company. So for those who resonate with this sort of tone, the 9 to 5 would definitely appeal to them. It's a way where you can create the infrastructure to work for yourself, to start your own dreams, how to travel full time. Listen, some people love to travel the world. And I actually travel full time. I think it's awesome. I'm not necessarily, you know, in love with it. Sometimes I like the stability of having a place to stay. But, you know, for those who do like to travel, this can be really, really good. It teaches you how to capitalize on all the current trends using apps like Bumble and Tinder to get clients.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten really good. Bumble Biz is the way to go. It is amazing for closing high quality clients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the best return I've got were in the least expected of places, Hawaii, places where you think you just go to party and have a good time. You know, it's where all the business people go to party and have a good time. And it's where all the business people are looking to make memories. We're looking to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had an amazing, 6 months, 5 months in Hawaii. And I've made insane networking. And I've used apps like Bumble Biz to close with clients or even network partners that I'm still collaborating with today.
That's very impressive. The first time I hear people using Bumble for collecting clients.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I look at Bumble, Tinder, and all these apps that people can use for dating. I kind of look at it a little more abstractly. It's just meeting people. You know, you bump into someone on the street. There's no reason to confine the possibilities right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, what are you looking for? I mean,
I'm
I don't know.
Guys.
It depends on you, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's kind of how I look at apps. And I'm clear about it. So, you know, I'm, you know, the bio I put, you know, looking to connect, you know, for business and all that good stuff. And I got a lot of DMs on Instagram. I got a lot of LinkedIn requests and, you know, people who need services, people who just want to talk. And I'll talk to someone on the phone for 45 minutes on the phone. I do it not too often.
I sense that.
But often enough.
You're pretty much on your phone.
Yeah. Someone wants to talk, has some questions about business, is having some problems. I don't charge for consulting. I never have. People might find that stupid, but I don't want to restrict my ability to meet people.
I agree. Yeah. So build up the trust first, and that gives you the possibilities to develop a client and vendor relationship.
Yeah, so I can go through the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So the journey all started at 9 years old. So being diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish community. So that is, we would study Torah studies, Mishnah, Talmud, Gemara, for all those who grew up Jewish, up until about 2:45, 3 p.m. And only then would we have a very primitive and basic secular education. And, you know, graduating out of high school, I went to Israel for a year behind, on top of that, and then I get thrown into computer science. And, from having to do calculus for my first semester and not knowing algebra was an extremely challenging time in my life. Extremely challenging. The fact that I couldn't focus in class, and the fact that even if I could focus in class, there was nothing to absorb. I'm grappling with algebra while the teacher is talking about concepts in calculus. And to most people, that's a bad experience. Those are the kind of experiences you want to craft your life around to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, these were the experiences that carved a certain kind of confidence and a certain way of thinking that has translated to every obstacle in my life forward. And, you know, having to realize that the people who are authoritative, our teachers, our principals, and all told us that discipline's important, coming to class early is important, doing everything on time and all that good stuff is important. And then here I am realizing that I'm breaking the rules, and I'm told if you skip class, you're going to fail your courses. And I have to skip class regularly to actually do good and study. I had someone, you know, sit down with me, start teaching me calculus. I started learning on my own. I started taking my classmates' notes and reverse engineering the course. And in a sense, that kind of removed all the noise. I was able to follow at my own pace, absorb all the information correctly. And what that taught me is that I can learn so much in such a short period of time. And over time, I started weaning off my Ritalin. I started coming up with my own methods of doing good, and I started getting really good grades. And in fact, as the courses got more complicated, the teachers, you know, rewarded those things that were, I was told as a child, coming to class on time, all that stuff. Teachers who are pursuing their PhDs, they don't have time. They don't care who's coming to class. You know, they give you the material and you're good. Teachers got worse. And as my students complained, I somehow got better because I didn't need the teacher. I just needed the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I graduated college, that mentality replicated itself where I'm here proposed, you know, working for big companies like Amazon, Google. Do I want to apply for a job and get a job there? Or do I want to do something on my own? And, you know, most people mightn't, you know, if they haven't had the struggles prior and this and the feeling of success prior from diverging off that well-worn path and still getting results, they might not want to take that risk. But here I am, well-conditioned in that environment, and I had no problem starting on my own from working. And I was looked down on my classmates because a lot of my classmates got jobs at huge firms, PwC, Ernst & Young. A lot of them went to Amazon and starting 90K salaries, 120K salaries. And here I am working insane hours, no weekends, weekdays, no 9 to 5, working all night in my, you know, in my room with earphones on, barely sleeping and walking around with a very miserable salary for my first year. And you know, somehow you just love what you do and you keep doing it because you know that you're subscribing to a model of growth that's not linear. People who are working at Google, I mean, there's exceptions, right? But we're going to generalize here. People working at Google are going to get really good salaries, 250, 350K, 450K, but you taper off at some point. That model is not growing exponentially. I think when you're pursuing your own dreams, and you're pursuing your own goals and your own companies, I think you're better suited for a model that can grow exponentially. And the thing about exponential models is that they start off really slow. But once they get some traction, once you reach that inflection point, it becomes really, really worth it. You just got to be willing to weather that process, that initial process, till that inflection point happens. And, you know, thankfully, for what is 4.5 years since I've graduated, it's finally starting to make a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
So you started your own company right after you graduated. Have you ever tried to work for any corporate?
So I work for Hexa Web Systems,
mm-hmm.
but I'm managing all the logistics. I have worked, when I graduated computer science, I worked for a company in Crown Heights, New York. The biggest Jewish network, and it's called Chabad.org. And I developed their mobile apps. So I did the 9-to-5 for a few months. Yeah. And listen, I mean, I made their apps and it was all good, but I made their apps on the Android platform, so I was using Java. But it was good. It was a good experience. I don't regret it. But it's not something I'd see myself happy doing.
I see. I remember reading your interview by Yahoo. One thing you ever mentioned is never to forget the things you like to do by getting paid.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I look at people who do have dreams, but they work for someone else's. You know, I might love programming, but I'm not particularly passionate about calibrating a GPS for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I feel like the bigger dreams you have, the more you have to get paid to forget about them. But I just don't have a price. You know, I would love to have a price, but I don't. I would never be happy doing it. If I would be happy doing it, if I woke up one morning okay with it, you know, I would do that. But it's just never happened.
So you mentioned that during the 4.5 years, that maybe not a return foreseeing at all. And I understand it's very stressful to really make the decision of, okay, I'm going to quit my job. Honestly, it's going to be very hard for me.
Yeah.
I will feel like it's not safe for me at all. It's not stable.
Yeah.
So how do you conquer the stress, and how do you help, and how do you refresh your mind?
So there's a few elements here. Every person's context has its complexities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fortunate to kind of navigate the virtual realm, and there's a lot less of that stress when you have the skill set where you could apply yourself to a virtual trade.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are doing real estate and whatnot, there's a strategy you need to apply. So, you got to take the bus at 6 a.m. to realize that not everyone is very happy going to work.
Mm.
And you never want that to be you. But, you know, for those who love to be painters or artists and what have you, and there's no, you know, it's a saturated market, there's not much money to be made, it's easy for me to say to stop your trade and to go straight into that world, but it's tough. So you have to have a strategy. There's a means, you know, that you could pursue a job you don't necessarily like, but be very calculated to where you can wean off it. You can save up money. While you're saving up money, I mean, you go home after work, what do? Party, go out. You have time to learn another trade. So if you're not happy with a real estate job, for example, I'm not telling you to quit the real estate job, but I'm telling you to have a plan. Give yourself 6 months. 6 months. Go online. There's a million things you can learn. You have no excuses. The world is at your fingertips. You just need an internet connection, and you can learn anything. So find a trade. You want to become a graphic designer on the side? You don't even need to pay for courses. You can find playlists on YouTube that walk you step by step how to use Photoshop. Sign up to platforms like Odesk, Upwork, or whatever it is, and start making tiny jobs, working super hard, impressing clients, getting a good reputation while getting paid peanuts, something you do at night. And then after 6 months of doing that, you're going to gain some confidence that you can deliver quality to others. And that job, which was holding you hostage, is no longer doing that, where you can wean off it. And then now you're a graphic designer. There's a strategy that needs to be applied. Sometimes you need to keep the job. You need to pay the rent, right? I understand that.
And by the way, I do love my job in the real estate world.
It sounds like you did, by the way. Yeah.
I can still do online courses, which my company provided. So that's good. I also heard that you have provided a lot of resources online available for people who need it. For example, GMAT.
Mm-hmm.
I took GMAT myself personally for school purpose here. And it's pretty tough for me.
Yeah. So a very good friend of mine, mm-hmm. a venture capitalist, her name is Ariana Thacker. Her and I collaborated about 2 years ago. And we worked together overnight. So she was taking her GMATs. We came up together. We strategized. We collected a whole entire folder and consolidated into a Google link. We studied how LinkedIn worked. We studied in what way do you need to make a post go viral on LinkedIn, when to post, how to post, how to get the first two sentences correctly using the right hashtags, all that good stuff. And we posted, you know, for those who want access to our GMAT resource folder, it's condensed with high quality material. And yeah, we got over 250,000 email requests from people.
Globally?
Yeah, globally. Globally. India, Pakistan, tons of people in Indonesia requesting.
That's a lot. I can't wait to come back soon to continue the conversation. Let's take a break first for some commercials.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
声声有情
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM 98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
餐饮、
娱乐、
招聘、
交友、
买房、
投资、
演出，
请找西雅图中文电台。
中文电台广告使您梦想成真，最低收费每月仅仅$100，就有机会使您的生意或者活动家喻户晓。
赶快行动吧！广告热线206-619-8698，206-619-8698，
或者发 email 到 crsradio@gmail.com。
我爱数字的影响力，我说的是2020年人口普查，每10年一次的普查，就是要统计住在美国的每个人，根据这些数据分配每年6750亿的公共资金。我只要回答几个问题，就能影响分配给学校和修建道路的资助。这些数据自然也会提高我们在政府里的代表程度。全体一起参与，我们的社群就能更强大。充满影响力的数字，谁能不爱呢？你我未来由此展开。请上2020census.gov 完成普查。本广告由美国人口普查局提供。
各位亲爱的听众朋友，西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。
如果您成为我们西雅图中文电台的会员，您将获得中文电台的包括茶杯、 T 恤衫等纪念品。
您也有机会获得西雅图中文电台一年一度的春节晚会、台庆晚会的免费门票，以及免费在西雅图中文电台做广告等。当然还有更多餐馆就餐、参加活动等打折机会。
加入西雅图中文电台的会员，您就和来自全世界的众多会员一起成为西雅图中文电台这个大家庭的一员，帮助西雅图中文电台的电波在空中更久的飘扬。
请拨打会员热线电话206-619-8698，206-619-8698，或者访问中文电台网站 ChineseRadioSeattle.com/membership。
Hey guys, welcome back. This is another you on Friday night. For the ones who just turned on your radio or video, I'm Orlani, and today we have our guest Michael Paris. Hey Michael.
Hey.
So we were talking about the available resources for GMAT test that Michael provided online for free. And that attracts over how many requests?
To date, 250,000.
Globally?
Globally.
Okay, can you give us any fun stories or example that how can we request those resources?
Yeah. So initially, we were only requesting them through LinkedIn because we wouldn't supply the link in the LinkedIn post just so we can create an environment that will allow our posts to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And then every single 2 or 3 days, we would send out mass emails with everyone who requested in the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can actually request it directly on my website, michaelparis.com, and there's a button, resource folders.
Do you want to spell it out?
Yeah, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-P-E-R-E-S. That's michaelparis.com. And you can request it from right there.
Okay, so besides the GMAT test resources, what else you may find on my website?
MBA book summaries. So there's about 140 books in there that we've summarized that are really awesome books for all, you know, people who are interested in business and economics to have a look at. People are studying for their LSATs and again, of course, GMATs. But now we've expanded where we have several GMAT folders. So there's GMAT 1, 2, and 3. And there was a cryptocurrency one. I don't know if that's still up there. We've kind of gone shy on cryptocurrency for a little bit.
Okay, so you mentioned that you were splitting your time half and half and doing 50% of your job getting paid, another 50% not getting paid.
Yeah.
So how did you manage and balance that?
So That actually was a strategy initially, where the kinds of business models that I would engage with mm-hmm. are the kinds that aren't directly mapped to energy. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So, you know, for those who run a, you know, if I was opening a store, I can, as a single person, I can run one store.
Yeah.
I can run two stores. I can run three stores. But then after four stores, every store that I operate becomes exponentially harder to maintain. It's kind of like, for those who are in college, you can relate. You take four courses, you're good. You take five courses, every course is 10 times harder.
Mm-hmm.
You've overloaded yourself. And those are the kind of models that I really avoid. The kind of models that I engage with are those that, for example, you know, if you were operating a network tower for cell phones, right? I need to spend all my time setting up this tower. Putting one person on it or putting 100 people on it doesn't really affect the amount of work I need to do to keep it up. And that's what I've really focused on with my model for hosting, for example. I just need to keep the server up, and I can put people on the server, and I can easily replicate a new server. And these kind of models might not make a lot of money at first. I'm making $20 off a person, $50, $100 off a person a month, but it's residual income, and it's income that's always staying there.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, once I get some traction, I'm completely living off just my hosting. And that stress of having to pay rent, that stress of having to pay for food is diminished. And then you're much more free to engage in like higher risk, higher reward endeavors. So 50% of the day, I would focus on making money. And once I had those models really running, hosting model, some Instagram marketing models, I'm very much free to start thinking much bigger picture. And that's a luxury that I don't take for granted. And that's a luxury that I planned from very early on. So now I'm able to build up my brand, network with people, offer awesome resources to people who need them. And in a way, I'm building up my network too. People say, you know, you're so nice for doing your Gmail resource folder. I go, thank you. But there's a selfish aspect to it too. I've met the most amazing people throughout that process.
Mm-hmm.
I have made extremely valuable connections. So the 50% of the work, and I stick to this philosophy. Still today, I'm doing 50%. I'm work. I'm focusing on the hosting, web development, all that good stuff. 50%, I'm trying to build new startups. I'm trying to build new projects. I'm working on collaborating with people. And that's a philosophy that I feel is really, really going to help me in the future. And it has already.
Let me ask you this question. In general, how many hours do you work a day?
I mean, it's chaos. There's really not much of a difference between my personal life and my business life.
Computer science field.
It's so meshed together. I don't need, you know, people say I hate Mondays. I don't even, Monday, Friday, sometimes I don't even know.
It's always Monday-like.
There's no difference between weekdays, weekends. I don't really have set work hours. Whenever I need to get something done, I get it done, right? If that means 4 in the morning, if that means 7 a.m., and, so, you know, some days I'm not in the mood of doing any work. It happens, and I don't do any work the entire day. And then some days I'll do nothing but work. I'll work 24 hours straight. The trick is you need to give quality to your clients. You need to be responsible, and you need to run a professional environment, right? All that additional stuff of having a nice suit, you know, all that presentation is really noise. What I focus on is helping my clients get sales online, helping my clients grow online. And whatever they need done, that's my objective. Everything else is diminished. So, you know, having special work hours used to be important. It's not that important. I will cater my work hours to know if I know this client is really responsive at certain hours, I will pivot my schedule to those hours. Just so I know that it's in my interest to deliver the job as quickly and as effectively as possible as well. So, yeah. Being malleable, in every aspect is good for everyone.
I like the idea that you know to give first, compare with thinking about, okay, so how much am I going to get paid for this specific job or project?
Mm-hmm.
Since when you had that idea?
Explain that. Sorry, I didn't completely follow.
Meaning for, like, pretty much all of the new graduates, like mm-hmm. you said, they're thinking about, okay, I'm going to get a good time job, and how much I'm going to get paid per month. But you were thinking about starting your new career from the ground.
Yeah. Money is the last thing I care about.
Yeah.
So
did you just think about, did that idea just in your mind naturally, or you just learned it by some point?
The way I see it is as follows, that I try to offer something exceptional. I go to the trenches to offer something that my competitors aren't willing to offer. I worry about giving skill and value over to those who need it. And money should be an inevitable byproduct of a stellar service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not worried about it. You know, as long as I can pay my rent and my food, at least at the time, I need enough money to survive. I'm not worried about making money. I know that when I do exceptional work, I'll find many ways to make a ton of money. And I really think that, I mean, but maybe deep down I do like making money, but this to me is the most effective plan. So for college students who are graduating, really assess your environment, right? For those who, there's nothing wrong, for those who can live with their parents for 2 years, for those who don't have to worry about rent, dude, you have it good. You have it super good. Ride that wave, right? Don't worry about making money. Don't worry about what your parents want you to get a good job. Don't worry about all of that, right? Your parents will be happy when you impress them, when you actually do something amazing. And, you know, and for those who do need rent, for those who don't have that luxury, it's cool. For those who do need to pay rent, it's cool, right? Take a job you might not love. It pays you well, but have a plan. Come home after work, boom, you get started on what you really want to do and build that foundation up slowly. Do whatever you got to do to make sure that you can build a foundation on something you love. And that's really a philosophy that drove me from day one, really.
So I just recalled that your learning theory, it's just a curious question.
Mm-hmm.
What you did basically is the same like what we do still in China right now. People don't like to, well, I shouldn't say this. The most of the cases, we don't like to go to class always,
yeah.
To be honest. So especially when we hit on the midterm and the final, we need to catch up a lot of things. So there, good students became super valuable. So we always sit together and copy their notes and ask the questions. It sounds like you always do that.
Yeah, and I got hated on it for a little bit, where like the guy would be like, no, Mike, get your own notes.
That's right. So, I mean, it really depends on how lucky you are and how they can manage their time for the good students.
Social value is important. You have to maintain a good relationship with those around you.
That's true.
Yeah, some people wouldn't want to give up their notes. And, you know, some people might find that just...
They may think, okay, I invest time in there, so why do I want to present it to you?
Yeah. You know, but you don't always... So you have many students. So if that person doesn't want to give you their notes, then mm-hmm. you've got other friends who you can become friendly with. You know, and or you can trade. You can have some sort of deal. You can pay them a few bucks. But also, you know, you might not even need your friend's notes. You can get the course outline
mm-hmm.
and go right through it. The thing about mathematics, for example, calculus. Those who are taking Cal 1, Cal 2, Cal 3, it doesn't really matter what school you go to. Calculus is calculus.
Right.
Right. You just need the book. You just need to find YouTube tutorials to get the foundation set in. And, you know, you will lose grades because teachers will focus on specific things in class. But over time, even with the notes you do get, you learn how to realize, because all that noise is gone, all that clutter and stuff, that class talk and guys raising up his hands and making jokes, all that is gone. And you just look at just the notes. And a good teacher is very calculated. He maps the notes to his exam. So, you know, if 20% of the notes is covering topic X, you can be aware that 20% of topic X will be on the exam. And if he gives two examples that are very similar, if there's a slight variation, there's something there he wants you to see, right? Mm-hmm. So I became really good at focusing on very minute details and having an idea of what the test would even be like before I get it. And that stuff that, and that's that sort of conclusion wouldn't come to me if I was going to class. It came to me because I only looked at notes that the teacher was given. So, you know, in summary here, to those who don't go to class, I mean, you should be doing it for the right reasons. If I was capable of going to class, the truth here, if I was capable of focusing in class, I probably would have gone. I would have gone. But at the end of the day, I realized that, you know, I'm good at learning on my own. And what I can do in 45 minutes with myself is way more than I can do in 45 minutes in the class.
Good point. So, let's take another break and coming back soon.
各位亲爱的听众朋友，西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。
如果您成为我们西雅图中文电台的会员，您将获得中文电台的包括茶杯、T 恤衫等纪念品。
您也有机会获得西雅图中文电台一年一度的春节晚会、台庆晚会的免费门票，以及免费在西雅图中文电台做广告等。 当然还有更多餐馆就餐、参加活动等打折机会。
加入西雅图中文电台的会员，您就和来自全世界的众多会员一起成为西雅图中文电台这个大家庭的一员，帮助西雅图中文电台的电波在空中更久的飘扬。
请拨打会员热线电话206-619-8698，206-619-8698，或者访问中文电台网站 ChineseRadioSeattle.com/membership。
劳工与工商保险服务部 Labor and Industries LNI 负责保护 Washington 州的劳工安全。如果你在工作中受伤或罹患工作相关疾病， LNI 提供工商保险以支付多数 Washington 州劳工的医护治疗费用。如果你在工作中受伤，请告诉你的雇主，并且选择一位医生接受治疗。致电免付费电话877-561-3453，使用你偏好的语言与本部门联络，以确认你的索赔案件已经收到，并且尽可能安全且快速的复职。
Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台，为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐。东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目，请记得收看 Crossings TV、 Comcast 有线电视、 Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息请访问 www.crossingstv.com。
Hey guys, welcome back. This is another You on Friday Night. I'm Orlani, and today's guest is Michael Paris. Okay, so we were talking about we were in school and how do we copy some others' copy, not copy, notes, and to get some good scores. I used to do that too, but not very often, because sometimes I do notice that I drop the ball because that note is really bad.
Yeah, and you know, also one point here, sometimes I would get all the hard points and lose all the easy points. Something he just an easy shot he gave in class, you know, if you went to class, you knew the answer. Yeah, but then when you join those study groups sometimes, listen, man, I had friends in mathematics and you know, a lot of those guys, I didn't go to class, and they were still friendly, they understood it, and we would get together before exams. When the trick is you don't cram at the end, you need time to, you should use the last 2 or 3 days to pick up on all the stuff that you should have picked up in class when the kind of group studies are going on. But yeah, group studies really helped me make up for the things that I really had to hear in class, because the students were talking among themselves and I would absorb it. Yeah.
So back to the present right now. How long have you ever set a goal for yourself? Like how many years am I going to see what achievement
yes.
I'm going to get?
Yes.
Talk about that.
So there's two elements here where when you're in the tech industry, you have no idea where you're going to be in 6 months. I cannot stress that enough.
Let me get a certificate.
No, seriously, though. Like, as someone who was coding websites in his basement, to becoming a designer, to doing marketing, like, not in a million years. I was a nerd in my basement coding, where now I'm traveling, droning, and going on social media and inspiring others with beautiful footage. That is the last thing I ever thought I would become. So I have a plan, but I'm okay with revising it as I progress. Even with the breaking 9 to 5, I never thought it would come to fruition. It came to fruition. I'm still trying to get all that information out. I literally have to dissect my life, journalize it, and then post it online. Yeah. I'm in that process. But, you know, throughout that process, the Israel Now news just sprung up. It was a huge wave. It went viral. I had to ride that wave. So I spent 2-3 months focusing on that. So, you know, I'm not constantly holding myself accountable to my goals, but I really do constantly have to revise and have a goal. Because when you do have a goal, that is a highway to success. You can calibrate, you can weigh it out, just like when you work out. I've got like a rule book for my running. I've got to do 4 miles, the bare minimum, a 4 mile sprint. I cannot stop when I start every 48 hours. And if I break one of those days, I have rules that I have to do to get back on track. And this way...
8 miles next day? No.
No, so I can explain it to you, but... I'll spare you. But, you know, in truth, this is what, now I'm running 2 miles, I feel tired. If I was never calculating my distance, I would give up right away. I'd be like, oh, yeah, this is, I go, no, I do 4 miles all the time. I can easily do this. And I'm constantly pushing myself. And I constantly realize that I'm progressing because I'm passing those marks that I've put myself accountable to before. And same exact thing for goals. I have a 5-year plan. And I have a vision too. So I have a five-year plan that I want to own a beautiful house in San Diego, La Jolla, where, you know, where
it's
one of my...
expensive.
Well, that's the plan. Where one of the floors are entirely glass. I love mountains and I love beaches, right? One of the floors are entirely glass where I get to see the whole beautiful world while I get to continue the work I love doing. I want to have half of my office for my tech work and half of my office for my biology work. I plan on, when I can set up all my technical infrastructure to the point where I'm not completely stressed about making money, and I have, whenever I offer a new service, just to take a little bit of tangent here, I make sure that I master the skill before I delegate. So I want to offer a new service for graphic design. I will make sure that I'm becoming really good at graphic designing before I hire. It's key to being an effective leader. You can discern what's good work, what's bad work. You can discern what's technical work and what's lazy work, mm-hmm. right? And this takes time. So I need to set up all my technological infrastructure to where I can build something, master the trades, have someone replace them. Step out, and I want to devote the rest of my life to doing research in biology. I do. I'm very passionate about that. And I want to do research in human aging, understanding the mechanisms of cellular death and all that good stuff. You know, it might switch over time, but that is where my focus is in the long run. So, yeah, and in order for me to do that, to devote myself to such research, I have to have a very stable financial model. So this is what I'm building right now.
As you mentioned, that house, it's a great design, sounds like. So just so you know, once you're ready, you can always reach out to me. We have a customer home department.
Oh, yeah. So like, when I was running in La Jolla, I lived in San Diego at some point. And I would run every day in La Jolla, and La Jolla Shores, I would run all the way up to the top of those mountains, and I'm like, this is it. It's beautiful. Beaches and mountains. I'm like, who would have thought? And then I would always ask the people at the very top what they do. They would never tell me what they do, but they'd always tell me what their neighbor does. So I just needed to harass enough of them till I kind of like, okay, I see what's going on here. Yeah.
So, for the ones who currently are urged, want to be recognized by the market as a social media icon, what is your suggestion? So what kind of help you may offer if they reach out to you?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot to say about this. So the first thing I have to mention to people who care so much about their Instagram is I have a very basic litmus test. Is if I take away your Instagram, do you no longer exist? In the sense where, is your value coming because of your Instagram? And I go, that's a strategy that can work initially, but that's not a game plan. Right? People who are, you know, purely, let's say, fashion bloggers, and their life is completely centered around their Instagram. If you remove their Instagram disappears tomorrow, they no longer exist.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So for fashion Instagrammer, is that their career, basically?
So, I mean, some of them are crafty. Some of them have an online store. Some of them make a lot of money through referrals. Some of them do very unique blogging. And that's exactly where I'm getting to with my point, mm-hmm. that once you plateau on the platform, on within the ecosystem, you have to exert so much more energy for so little return. It's not a model you want to kind of focus on. You want to start offering real value and you're not cramming content down people's throats. You're earning their follow. You're earning their attention. People's time is precious.
I see.
Right? If they're following you, it's because you're giving them something of value. It's, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk says, you know, jab, 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 right hook. That's my philosophy. Give, 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 then ask. So first thing I say to people who want to grow online, grow their platform on social media is pretend I was going to put you on the news tomorrow. What about you is newsworthy? That should be your brand. Triple down on that. Let's just say, I don't know, you're a fashion blogger who's a psychologist, and you know you're a yoga teacher who does psychologist. Let's just say psychology, right? And you can talk about how, you know, having those two professions has created a unique advantage. How you're helping, you know, older people, whatever it is. Find a niche and quadruple down on that, because that will be how you break through and how you outcompete those around you. So, within the Instagram ecosystem in itself, offering value in your content. You know, Instagram is kind of different because it's all about, you know, people like to have that beautiful, pretty portfolio. But then you have those people like, for example, Gary Vaynerchuk, that aren't posting beautiful content. because they're so high value that it kind of overcompensates. But you know, it's an art. Learning how to edit your photos is so time consuming. You know, what I do is I hire those who do what they do best, and then I just collect the footage. So, you know, I'm not going to spend 40 hours doing it, videos every time. I'm not going to spend, you know, too long filtering my photos. Yeah.
So create value.
Create value. It's way more than Instagram, 100%. 100%. And unique value.
Will you say that, beside that, do they need some marketing skills or just to present great values and the followers
will
just show
up? In order to be effective in the virtual sphere, you have to be good at everything. You do. You know, you have to be good at marketing. You have to be good at, you have to have some basic programming skills.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be good at, you have to have good social skills. That's just how it is because people are very savvy nowadays. And, you know, if some people have well-established companies that started way before the boom of social media. And those people are at a huge disadvantage because they don't have a platform that allows you to outreach exponentially, right? In physical spaces, I can meet 4 or 5 people at an event. Online, I can meet people with an exponential kind of grasp. So, yeah, the trick is to become as dynamic as possible. Even if you don't want to become a marketer, you don't want to become a graphic designer, even if you don't want to become a web developer, you know, if you're selling products online, having an understanding in all of those domains will greatly help you do things on your own, but also hire the right people and also get things done effectively and not waste money double hiring. So, yes, taking time to learn and to really never get comfortable with your profession is key to making it in this industry.
So for the companies you run, your startups, and the job you're doing right now as a computer scientist, and also for the online resources you offered, of course, you created them, is there any interconnections within?
Yes. So let's break this down. It's web development, cloud computing, news and entertainment, marketing, PR. These are all things that I have as independent services. Now, I tried to brand them independently. So I started off just doing web development, and then I realized that I was losing money off every transaction. A client would come, they would need their website. They would have to bring me the design initially, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just code it up. I'm like, wait, I'm losing money. Why don't I just make the design too? Boom. Now I do two things instead of one. And then the next thing goes, you know, I'm sending them off for hosting. Why don't I just build my own servers and make money off that too? Boom, that's done. And the next thing I go, you know, he's paying so much for Google Ads elsewhere. Why don't I do his Google Ads? Another one. You know, he's sending his money to social media. Why don't I do that? Another one. And then now marketing and you know, running a news company, learning how to work with journalists, reporters, you know, all this stuff it's never ending. And these are all isolated services. Because sometimes people only need specific services. But what this is coming is this coming together where I'm offering people complete services. So these are all independent services. My Israel news company is nothing to do with my web development. But the skills I need to run an effective news company is needed for my web development clients who need to get on the news. So they are independent, but the skill sets are all shared. And they all sometimes come together where now I'm starting to represent brands online, where I'm starting to represent individuals who need to grow online, you know, the public figures or whatever they are. It's a whole package now.
So we have a lot of topics, a lot of details in the stories that are not going to be covered in this 40 minutes show tonight. So if you are interested in branding your new ideas or anything that you want to reach out to Michael, what is a good way?
So my Instagram is Mikey, MikeyPeres, Mikey Peres.
Mm-hmm.
My Twitter is Mikey Peres. My website is michaelperes.com. My Breaking 9 to 5 is breaking9to5.com. I think that's enough. Hexatiger.com, hectofox.com. But yeah.
MichaelPeres.com.
Yes, it's all there. So you go there, it's all summarized.
Okay. Thank you guys for watching another You on Friday night. I am Orlani. I'm looking forward to seeing you another Friday night.
西雅图公共图书馆每周七天每天24小时开放数字图书馆。您可以下载电子书、电子有声书或者从任何地方欣赏网上电影、电视节目以及音乐。请访问 spl.org/digitalresources 了解更多信息。
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健康健祝您健康， 电话206-621-7501 206-621-7501。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮。请您向具有 501c3 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是 scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698 206-619-8698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。